Hey, greetings everyone. Thank you for joining us for our meditation here on Thursday, September 2nd, 2021. And this is Dr. Will Tuttle. This is the World Peace Circle Sangha. I just want to, start off by thanking you, each and every one of you, for not only joining us, but for being committed to the journey of self-cultivation for the benefit of all beings. You know, it's really challenging. It's, I think, one of the biggest crises maybe our humanity has faced in a long time, what's unfolding on the earth. And so to be able to greet every day with an open heart and an open mind and to see the best in others and to meditate on the deeper truths that are beyond what we're hearing about in the media or even in the alternative media. I think there's such a tremendously deep divide right now in the world between different perspectives and the splitting that's been happening. So there's a lot of, I think, in a sense, the old saying, the chickens come home to roost, you know, that basic idea. Our insistence on abusing, confining, enslaving, and harming billions of animals has unfortunately created a powerful force field. And we're starting to see all of that ripening. It's been ripening anyway, but I think we're seeing it more. So I want to thank all of you for your efforts to live what veganism actually is and to bring the vegan message to the world. And one of the things I've been emphasizing over the years is that veganism is a two-step process, not a one-step process. And so we're talking about today the second step. The first step, they're both great steps. You know, the first step is we go vegan, right? that's an accomplishment in our society, I think, to just actually live our life as a committed, ethical person devoted to animal liberation, do the best we can not to purchase or support any industries or operations or people who are harming and abusing other animals for food, clothing products, or anything else, or to do that ourselves, and to not merely passively be living this way, but to actively encourage others to question the narratives that promote animal abuse on such a massive scale. So that's already terrific. However, that's really the easy part. That's the first baby step in a sense. The second step is both of these are processes, but the second one is to then embody what veganism actually is, which is a life, probably many lifetime proposition of living a life of infinitely kind and loving action to all expressions of life. And we can always get better at that. And I think this is the real challenge we're seeing now, is that we've easily become perhaps complacent. And there are powerful forces that are using events as a pretext for everything to become exploited, humans and non-humans and the earth. So to be able to navigate these waters is a big challenge, but we're not the first ones to do it. So I'd like to, again, I'm just letting people in here. We've got a beautiful gathering, a circle of people. So we can begin, I think, our meditation time now. It's just a few minutes after the hour. And so I encourage you, perhaps it's a little better, it's up to you, however you want to do it, to turn your attention within. you can either leave your screen on or turn it off. And that's, of course, we're all muted. That's better. And we'll turn our attention within. And I'm sitting here. I talked last month about Yuma. So I'm right sitting in front of Yuma, the grand piano, which hopefully should be working. Now begin our time of meditation with invoking in our heart the light of gratitude and appreciation, to the infinite source of our life, the source of all life. Giving thanks. Every breath is a new beginning in many ways, as we are continually with enormous inherent intelligence that we're not even aware of, building new cells, tremendous intelligence in every moment is pouring through literally hundreds of thousands of miles of pathways within the physical vehicle of our physical body, of nerves and blood vessels and lymphatic vessels, connecting an entire universe of intelligence that is assembled together and is working together in tremendous intelligence and harmony to allow us, the being that we are, to walk, to speak, to write, to hug, to extend a hand in a gesture of friendship or assistance, to create, to ponder, to yearn, to align ourselves with a higher purpose, so we give thanks for this embedded, vast universe of intelligence and creative cooperation that makes every heartbeat possible. Every heartbeat is a literal miracle. Makes every breath possible, every step, every flicker of our eyelids as we behold this beautiful earth all around us, and look into the heavens, and and look into the eyes of other human beings who are likewise looking out of their eyes at us, and looking into the eyes of birds and fishes, cows and pigs and dogs and cats and squirrels and opening to the infinite intelligence that is invested into every living being by the love that is at the heart of all being, allowing us to learn, to grow, to create a purpose. To question everything in the human created world. To touch the hem of the fountain of all life, the sacred source. So now we relax more deeply into the rhythm of our breathing, knowing that we have this time and giving thanks to ourselves for taking our spiritual path, our own sacred life, and the lives of others seriously enough to make this time available. So with all the outer input in its own way swirling around, we let it go, let all of it go. Knowing that what we are is infinite and eternal consciousness that was never born and will never die, shining, self-effulgent, whole and complete, essentially completely undamageable by the passing shadows of the material movie. We know that this whole movie would not be possible without the light. And we are that light. Whatever the images are on the screen. And so we allow now our awareness to expand. To include not only where we are, but to just hold the whole human family and the family of all living beings in a feeling of loving kindness. Feeling of benevolence and goodwill and yearning for the happiness and liberation of all living beings. Just breathing and radiating in all directions, this feeling of loving kindness, including everyone, all expressions of life. Loving kindness, the being that goes by our own name. We also include knowing that what we are beautiful beyond words, and we send now our compassion and empathy in ever-expanding spheres to all living beings. Wherever they may be, whatever difficulties and stress and fear and suffering they may be experiencing, we allow our hearts to hold them in the light of compassion, yearning that they be free from all delusion, to realize their true nature. And the yearning to do our own part, to act, to be a blessing, and to relieve the suffering of others with every thought, word, and deed. Abiding in our true home of compassion. Every breath we engender the feeling of joy, the joy of being that never ends and is completely free from anything in the outer world. The joy of our true nature, of the inner wisdom abiding in every cell of our being. And so with every exhalation, we allow this great joy to permeate every dimension of our own life, knowing that when we awaken to this joy that is always present and available. And we allow this joy to radiate from our heart as it fills every dimension and aspect of our heart and flow out into the world of our relationships, filling the entire earth with the truth of the joy and the celebration of being. Into our heart, abiding in loving kindness, in compassion, in joy. We are at peace. Abiding in peace and harmony. See the entire earth in its true form, in beauty and freedom for all living beings, in peace and harmony and abundance, the true reality. There is only one power. That power is breathing through us, enlivening every dimension of our life, and is ultimately only power. And so now we see the light of purification, pouring down from the heart of the universe, down through the top of our head, filling up our entire physical body, slowly flowing down through our head and eyes and ears and nose, into our neck, into our chest, down through our arms and out through our hands, down into our body, and just washing away any disharmony, any fear, washing away any obstacles, to the free-flowing functioning of our innate wisdom, health, joy, and freedom. So we see our whole body now just being washed clean by this light, down through the central part of our body, into our pelvic region, washing away any old wounds, and washing down through our legs, healing, regenerating, bringing into harmony, streaming out through the soles of our feet and through every atom of our body. What we are is a river, a stream of light, and we see now all the animals of this earth free of all human domination and exploitation. The factory farms emptied, the laboratories emptied, the prisons emptied, and the hospitals emptied. Schools empty. Allowing our mind to just empty of any thoughts. Allowing our heart to radiate, loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace to everyone. We are all interconnected. As we hold others in our heart, we are also held in the heart of the infinite life and truth and love. So now we begin to bring our awareness into the shared space that we have together. Knowing that we are always connected to the space of love shining always in our heart, the space of gratitude and appreciation that flows and vivifies every cell in our being. In this great adventure that we are on, both together and as the unique expression of life that we are, with full responsibility for every thought, word, and deed. Give thanks for the inner wisdom that is always accessible, the wisdom that guides us to live our unique life to the glory of the infinite source, the love behind everything. Thank you, everyone, for making this possible. This is really a co-creation, and I think the idea of having a satsang where we create a community to remind each other of the truth is something that in every generation is one of the most precious things that keeps a society alive and on track. Without that, we easily lose our way. And I personally feel that what we refer to as veganism, which really isn't veganism, it's really simply our true nature, looking out of our eyes and seeing beings and extending them the respect that they deserve naturally and not seeing them as objects to be manipulated or reducing them to commodities to be used and exploited. And that carries forth right to our human world so powerfully. So this foundation that we share together is critically important. And we see right now, I think, the effects of what happens when a society strays from that and we get lost in materialism and see other beings and even ourselves as just a thing. We reduce them and we reduce ourselves. We lose the sense that they are sacred and we lose the sense that what we are is sacred. We basically turn them into a commodity and we become a commodity. So we're on the path of reversing that delusion. And the way we do that is by remembering. And community is the key thing, I think. What we are in the Buddhist tradition and really all the traditions is very much a part of our community. We're in many ways a manifestation of our community. But we can also create communities of sanity and of healing that vibrate at a higher dimension. and that vibrate at and have a frequency that is not the same frequency that we see in the world. I remember a month ago in early August, we had our satsang, and I remember I started talking about Yuma and the instrument, and the idea that we ourselves are an instrument, and that we're always vibrating at a certain frequency, and to be aware of what that is, and to realize, like Thoreau said, you know, it's so great, you know, these people that have gone before us, in a sense, our spiritual ancestors. We have our physical ancestors that we can be grateful to for our life and our spiritual ancestors. But he tuned into that somehow through his time at Walden Pond, and perhaps I just heard today from Julie, maybe from his mother. Anyway, he talked about how there's nothing more uplifting and reassuring and reaffirming than the basic truth that we can really, by our own discipline and efforts, raise our consciousness, transform our awareness, harmonize our being, uplift ourselves. We have the capacity to do that. We don't have to be a victim of our past or of other people or of the surroundings or of the terrible things happening in the world. I mean, none of that. We are not a victim. Ultimately, we are not a victim of that. And I think the ultimate lesson in this, we will get it when we leave this body. We'll realize, perhaps with a much greater clarity, what our tests and challenges really have been during this lifetime. Sometimes we're in the middle of a lifetime, it's hard to see it. Like, what am I supposed to be learning here? And then when we leave the body, it's like, oh gosh, yeah, I could have done a better job on that one. Or, you know, what it, of course, in the Buddhist tradition, the idea is that we, and I think this is really a universal teaching, it's sometimes been suppressed, that we have countless lifetimes. We have many lifetimes. And what is this we, of course, the we that we are? This, who is this? What is that? Without this name and form, it's kind of a little bit inconceivable to us, probably. It makes everything possible. But to somehow remember at a deeper level, or to question the cultural narrative that we're just merely this body and this accumulated set of experiences, that questioning is the key. There's a saying in Zen, perhaps you've heard me say it, I'm not sure. The saying is, great questioning, great enlightenment. Small questioning, small enlightenment. No questioning, no enlightenment. And there's an underlying tremendous, I think, wisdom in that, that we are here to question. The word question, I remember years and years ago, I was writing in my journal, and I realized it's quest I on, right? We're questing on. I am questing on. And that's our life. It is a quest. It's a quest. There's no way around it. I mean, it's actually, we have a purpose, and as long as I think that I have arrived somewhere, then that's a delusion. So I'd like to maybe just contemplate and read. We did this in the other week, so I thought maybe we could get back to that. I kind of went off on a whole thing last week, which you can listen to the recording if you missed it, but it really took up our whole time with this idea of frequency and our body and mind as an instrument that we can tune, and that is really in our hands, and that we're not trained in our society in any way to make harmonious music with the instrument that we have, with our body-mind. We're taught to fill our instrument, our body really in many ways, with toxic chemicals and foods, and watch violent and exploitive entertainment, so-called, with perverted relationships and misery and sexuality and violence. And I mean, it's really a tragedy, I think, the kind of imagery that children and everyone is actually exposed to. I think there's a reason for that. And so I think one of the things that we need to remember is that when we're being vegans, The whole idea of being a vegan, one of the main ideas is to watch what we're putting in our mouth, right? You know, what am I eating? We're reading the list of ingredients. You know, I'm checking, wait a minute, that's got some casein in there. It says vegetarian cheese, but it's got casein. Where does the casein come from? Oh, it comes from cows. So we don't eat it. So we're paying attention to what we're putting into our mouth, into our physical body. But we have to remember that the frequency and the vibration of that food is terrible suffering. And all of that goes right into every cell of our body. We're eating misery and violence. We're eating toxins. We're eating, you all know the whole story. It's IGF-1 growth hormones and these substances and hormones and chemical and pesticide residues and experiences of pain and misery that these animals are experiencing. So that's going in. But I think it's really important to remember that we're also eating media, right? We're eating whatever we're watching, listening to, reading. We're eating relationships as well. And that those become either wonderful, nurturing, empowering, illuminating food for us on some level. And I'm not saying we shouldn't open ourselves to seeing what's happening. I've watched plenty of undercover footage of what cows and pigs and chickens go through, and I'm aware of that. And I feel in my path that's been a good thing to do. I'm not saying everyone has to do that, but it's really opened my eyes to what's happening. But the idea that we can be big enough to hold that if there's a purpose. But there's a lot of toxicity, not only in the food, but in the media. And it's there in the food on purpose, and it's in the media on purpose. There's, as I've said, there's very little money to be made on healthy, vibrant people who ask a lot of questions and who don't go along with the official narratives. I mean, those are dangerous to the slave masters here on planet Earth. So the whole key, I think, is to not comply. And veganism is non-compliance. And say, I'm not going to comply with tyranny or with exploitation of other living beings or of myself. I mean, the whole key of veganism is sovereignty, isn't it? I mean, the idea is I'm honoring and respecting the sovereignty of cows and pigs and chickens, of ecosystems, of children, of future generations, of workers, and so forth, and not to do anything that would destroy the sovereignty of other beings, and also to see our own sovereignty as sacred and stand up for it. And this is a great war, I think, that's going on right now. So to be very conscious about what we're allowing in. I've been very fortunate to have learned, I think maybe from my father, he was going to be a doctor, and he went into the army to be a doctor, and he was a medic in the army. And then he just got disgusted. He said, all I do is give these guys shots all day. He was just giving people shots. That's what he did. That was his job, was to give people shots. And he said, I gave him all these shots, and I saw it just made him sick. And I said, I don't want to be a doctor and make everybody sick. So he became a newspaper publisher. So I was raised in a family of journalists where I really learned about how the media is filled with lies, because I could see it happening. I mean, you can't run news that the advertisers don't approve of. So the toxins in the media and the toxins in the pharmaceutical, medical, chemical systems that we're surrounded by, that's the challenge. And to keep our body mind, read the ingredients, keep our body mind as clear as possible, so that when we go to sit quietly and meditate, we won't be embroiled in relationships that are toxic, for example, or in with food or media that's toxic. Only we can do that. And I really recommend taking a time every morning as soon as you wake up to have a quiet time of meditation, you know, first thing, before anything gets in the way to bring the mind into all the troubles of the world, to just set the tone, set the vibratory tone for your day, however you feel to do that. And I think there's critical importance, because if we don't do it for ourselves, then somebody else will do it for us. And to stay in within the power that is our true nature, we need to contact our true nature. We need to make friends with our true nature, with the infinite source of the life that we are. And that really only happens, quite honestly, from my experience, when we quiet our mind. And that takes effort. And it doesn't just happen by itself. It's like I said about playing the piano. People say, oh gosh, you're so lucky, you can play the piano. And but I had to check off every day. I did my 45 minutes, you know. And so discipline brings freedom. And there isn't any freedom without discipline, ultimately. There's no freedom without discipline or responsibility. It looks like discipline on the outside, right? I mean, people say, oh, you're a vegan. That's really, you're so disciplined. Like, no, I mean, maybe in the beginning, but now it's unthinkable. So it's to bring our mind and our body into alignment with our true nature. So to actually speak into the world and into our relationships, the love and appreciation that we feel for the people in our lives and to our own selves and to ourselves. And we have a circle that we can touch, right, around us, and those circles radiate. And so the circle we have right now, here we are, and that can, as soon as this is over, we'll be relating with others. And so, and those people will be relating with others. So there's this infinite interconnected web of circles. And we may think we're just one little person and we're not much, but we are, I think, far greater. I remember this, when I lived in this Tibetan Buddhist center, there was a Lama, the Lama Lodru was his name. And, I was really, what was it? I was upset at one point, because I was going to miss a big initiation. I think the Lama wanted me to go and do a retreat. I went up to Oregon and did this long retreat, and all by myself in a little cabin in the woods for months, just by myself. And I was going to miss this retreat that was going to be at the center in San Francisco with a very high Lama. And I said, but that's a big initiation, and it's too bad to miss that. And he didn't speak very good English. He just said, who knows what is big is big. I've never forgotten that. You know, who knows what is big is big. You know, we think it's big. We think it's really big, and then we realize maybe there's something way bigger, or we think it's something little. Who knows what is little? We might think it's a little thing. It may not be little. It may be big, and we don't think something is really big. It may not. It may be actually very little. I mean, you know. It's really important, I think, you know, to understand that it's our consciousness that is at the foundation of everything. And so when we start our day with meditation and we get in touch with the finest detail of little things, of our breathing, of our thoughts, of our feelings, these little things, it doesn't seem like a big thing, it's just a little thing. But it creates the foundation for the whole rest of the day. And then we'll find naturally that when we're going to perhaps do an activity in the kitchen, we're just a little more relaxed and more centered, and we hang up the towel with more awareness and all these kinds of things. So it's about creating the flow in our life. And I think this has not happened in our society. Our society's, everyone's been pushed into almost a complete abandonment through the educational system and medical system and the food and all of this. And so now we see the kind of chaos erupting. And in vegans, it's not much better. That's what I mean about the second step. The first step is a great one, but the second step, to actually question the materialism and bring this into our lives. All right, so I will, what do you think? I really wanted to get to this chapter. It's pretty short. I'll just maybe read this and make a few brief comments, and happy to open it up to any comments you have. This one is called Thousands. This is number 8. And it kind of puts everything, I didn't think of it, but maybe puts this in perspective again. This is from the Buddha 2,500 years ago. His words, I think, are still very important. Better than 1,000 meaningless statements is one meaningful word, which having been heard brings peace. Better than 1,000 meaningless verses is one meaningful line of verse, which having heard brings peace. Better than reciting 100 meaningless verses is one line of Dharma, which having heard brings peace. Dharma here is the teachings. We're talking about the teachings, the Dharma. It's also Dharma, Dharmata in Sanskrit means the way it is, right? The way it is. Like actually understanding what's actually going on here. Dharma. Greater in combat than a person who conquers 1,000 times 1,000 people is the person who conquers herself. That's a key point. That's everything, really. Certainly it is better to conquer oneself than others. Now, we're raised in a society where really, on a very subtle level, we are taught almost every day from the time of little kids to conquer other people. We're really taught that. We're taught to compete and beat and get to the top of the heap and get what we can and get our security. And even if we have to manipulate others and treat them as objects, that's okay. This is a system. This is what we got to do. I mean, this is like complete antithesis of any kind of spiritual wisdom to actually act in that way. But, you know, this is the wound. These are the wounds that we've been enduring being born here. For someone who is self-restrained and always lives with mastery, neither a god, a Gandharva, nor Mara and Brahma together could turn conquest into defeat. So that's what he's saying. The key is when he says self-restraint, you have to figure out what he means by that. But self-restraint doesn't mean just having control over your mind in a sort of oppressive way. It really means understanding at a deep level, so you're not even going to go there, you know, not even going to start attacking or criticizing or blaming or shaming or getting angry. Actually, that's real self-restraint. Better than 1,000 ritual sacrifices offered every month for 100 years is one moment's homage offered to one who has cultivated herself. I like how the translator uses himself and herself sort of interchangeably back and forth. It's kind of refreshing. So again, to connect with and honor those who have actually done the inner work to teach and exemplify a higher way of living. This is so precious to actually see that and honor that. Better than 100 years in the forest tending a ritual fire is one moment's homage offered to one who has cultivated himself. Whatever sacrifice or offering a merit seeker might perform in an entire year is not worth 1/4 as much as expressing respect to those who are upright. For the person who shows respect and always reveres worthy people, 4 things increase: lifespan, beauty, happiness, and strength. So again, he's repeating this in different ways, that it really takes our inner wisdom to recognize this in others and actually honor the qualities that create nobility in a human being. To actually see them, we have to develop those in ourselves. Better than 100 years lived with an unsettled mind, devoid of virtue, is 1 day lived virtuous and absorbed in meditation. I can see that. Yeah. Better than 100 years lived with an unsettled mind, devoid of insight, is 1 day lived with insight and absorbed in meditation. Better than 100 years lived lazily and lacking in effort is 1 day lived with vigor and exertion. Better than 100 years lived without seeing the arising and passing of things is 1 day lived seeing the arising and passing of things. Better than 100 years lived without seeing the deathless is 1 day lived seeing the deathless. And then finally, better than 100 years lived without seeing the ultimate Dharma is 1 day lived seeing the ultimate Dharma. And so, in a way, this is very interesting. It's kind of connects in with what I said earlier about who knows what is big is big. You know, 100 years or 1,000 years lived in delusion, he's saying, is not nearly as good as one day lived in awareness or in freedom or in liberation. So wherever that comes from, I think that the idea is to have that awakening oneself, to realize that. And I think we can see that our life, it's not simply about the quantity of years that we live, how long our life is. It's about the quality of the moments that we have. And to be able to savor the moments that we have, to be able to savor our life, to savor the adventure that we're having, and to not be just reacting out of fear or grasping. So I want to stop here. Let me see. It looks like, oh my gosh, we went time. So does anyone have, I'm sorry we only have a few minutes left, but does anyone have a comment or anything you'd like to share? We really try to keep this to an hour. We have a longer one on the third Thursday, but or is everybody just happy and complete? I feel actually pretty happy and complete here because, you know, this is for me as much as it is for you, believe me. So, the actual living of life these days, I think, is what really sort of about a year ago prompted me to say, you know, it'd be nice to have time where we can get together and not talk too much about all the craziness in the world and really focus on the deeper truths of being that bind us together, that make us into one humanity that is together doing the best we can to heal the wounds of societal delusion that we've been born into a culture that's had 10,000 years of practice of war and oppression and killing billions of animals. And we're born right into that. And so our minds have been in many ways, unfortunately, poisoned by that. And so the whole idea is to do the cleansing and the purification work that we can do by inner silence and by changing our behavior, changing our diets, our mental diet, our physical food diet, the diet of our emotions, the diet of our relationships, to do the best we can to just be a radiating center of understanding and kindness for others. We're all under a lot of challenging energy and just crisis, I think, in many cases. And so for many people, there's a sense of their spirit almost getting broken. And so for us to stay strong and know that the spirit that we are, our true nature, can never be broken. That's absolutely nothing in the material world. We are the sky of consciousness that can never, clouds cannot break or pollute us. And to maintain an active effort of cultivating that awareness, remembering that truth. That's really something that no one else can do for us. No one can do that for me. That's something that each one of us does for ourselves in our own, in the closet, as Jesus said, the closet of our own, ability to quiet the outer input and then bring our peace into our relationships. So here we are. This is September 2021. My goodness. Think of that. Wow. 20 years since that whole world-changing event of 9/11. And now it's been another more world-changing events. And we're in many ways swept along. But I think it's essential for us to bring the vegan message of kindness and compassion and love for all beings into every aspect of our lives, not just our food, but our relationships with other people. It doesn't mean we don't speak our truth, but to do it as best we can with kindness and respect. So we have lots to be grateful for, and we're in, I think, in many ways, a battle, the likes of which we haven't seen. I mean, I've in my meditations, I've realized that there's it's a huge thing, and you know, there's a lot of world mythologies that point to the fact that there have been civilizations before ours that destroyed themselves. Maybe even completely, we don't even know they existed at this point. And they got over, they got arrogant and they got overblown, and maybe it's happened many times on this earth or in other realms. And so will we be able, you know, there's a story in the Old Testament that, the Lord said, if there's just 10 people in Sodom and Gomorrah who are upright and ethical, I will save that, those cities. But there weren't. So they were destroyed. So can we be the 10 people that are upright to save this civilization? Now, can we be the ones who are not going to allow ourselves to be co-opted by a false narrative and to hold truth to the ideals of what veganism really is, which is loving kindness for all beings, and create the template and the foundation so that we don't self-destruct? And I think, again, thank you all for being born at this time. It's a challenge, and we can do it. I think we absolutely can. It's a matter of just doing the inner work and letting the outer life flow from that. So much love to all of you. I think we've kind of reached the end of our time. Maybe we can close by just sending our love to each other, this beautiful circle that we have, and knowing that there are other people who will be listening to this in the recording. So we send them our love also, people that are in other time zones and or who couldn't make it. So we send them our love, and then the whole world and all living beings. We can perhaps, if you'd like to unmute yourselves, we can say our compassion prayer together. And thank you all for the comments in the chat. I really appreciate it. I see a little bit, and it's very beautiful and heart-touching. So thank you so much. I'll look at it all later. And you can save them if you want, of course, yourselves. So let's say, let's close with our compassion. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere.
Everywhere.
Compassion encircles the earth.
All beings everywhere.
Okay, one more time with gusto. Compassion encircles the earth. All beings everywhere.
Yay!
Go forth and multiply the message. We love you. Thanks so much,
love
everyone.
Thank you. 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 Thank you